Now, in addition to the 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition that Homeland Security is purchasing, how about 2,700 armored personnel carriers built for combat? What the heck do they want to do with all of that? I'm going to check in with Craig. We'll talk more about this. Look, the phones are ringing off the hook. We'll take calls next hour. So don't keep ringing now. You'll not get picked up. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Craig Hewlett with us, and we're going to talk now about Homeland Security. We will take your calls tonight with Greg, but don't waste your time now making the calls. I've got far too many things I want to chat with him about as well. Craig, first of all, let's move on. We've talked about the drones, and I'm sure we'll have many questions on that when we take calls. Explain something to me. I'm a gun owner as well. Hollow point 9mm ammo. That's pretty darn devastating, isn't it?
Yes, and 40 caliber as well. Specifically, those two rounds are the most used rounds in local law enforcement. So the fact that the Department of Homeland Security is moving, apparently, and very vociferously, they're moving into local law enforcement and creating a network between federal, state, and law enforcement agencies. And understand that Homeland Security is not only is it unconstitutional, but of course that's irrelevant in this kind of an environment to say that, but the very existence of Homeland Security is unconstitutional. It frays the distinction between the intelligence community, the Pentagon, the Central Intelligence Agency. All of these different agencies come under this one agency called Homeland Security. When I was a consultant with ATF&E, it was ATF&E of the Treasury Department.
That's right.
It then got moved from the Treasury Department to the Justice Department. Now it's been moved from the Justice Department to still having the name Justice in it. It's now ATF&E, Justice Department, Homeland Security. All of these different agencies, including the CIA, answers to Homeland Security, who answers only to the President of the United States.
Now,
this is unconstitutional.
Does Homeland Security have their own armed members, I guess?
Yes.
People who are, they do. Okay.
Yes, they do. There's no question they do. I've got videotapes of them. They have their own SRT teams. They're stationed in every city. Every major metropolitan city in the last 20 years has developed what are called fusion centers. A fusion center is the facility that houses all the different agencies working under that umbrella. In other words, Homeland Security is at the top. Everybody else in the state, from the state, the fire department, FEMA, from the federal government, the Forest Service, Border Patrol, Customs, all of it comes in under this building, right alongside FBI, the local sheriff's department, and the state patrol. That's the fusion center. And every place has one fully manned and operational right now in your city, whether you know it or not. And Department of Homeland Security and these, we're calling them armored personnel carriers, but that's not what they are. They're called mine-resistant protected vehicles, MRAPs. These vehicles are coming right out of the Marines and the United States Army. They're being purchased here by Homeland Security. They're decommissioned in Iraq and Afghanistan, washed, cleaned up, and painted, slapped Homeland Security on the side of them, and now they've got 2,700 of them.
And where are they going to be based? In this country?
In this country, all of them. In different fusion centers in every state, in every major metropolitan area, and all along the borders of the coastlines. They will have a full coverage of the United States, Homeland Security will, and it will be completely cross-networked, and they'll be able to deploy these vehicles with SRT teams, special deployment teams, like a SWAT team, only Homeland Security's own personal SWAT team, to come in and
do whatever they do
on the American people.
All right, let's paint a picture here, Craig. Let's look at this. You're an artist. I'm an artist. They have got 30,000 drones they're working on to fly over America. They're ordering 1.6, this is additional, 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition, which is more than all our troops could use in Iraq for 22 years. Astronomical. They've got 2,200 armored personnel carriers. God knows what they might already have now. If you look at all these things, this scenario, one would have to assume they are being prepared for some major conflict within this country. Am I right?
You are absolutely correct. There's one other item we're missing on our menu. They just, Homeland Security just purchased 7,000 fully automatic M4 carbines. An M16, M4 is a short version, 16-inch carbine. All fully automatic for use as PDWs for Homeland Security employees. PDW, personal defense weapon. And under the purchase order, it is recommended that they purchase the M4 because they said in the document itself that this is an especially superior weapon as it holds 30 rounds in the magazine. Its 16-inch barrel makes it very maneuverable in a confined space, so it's perfect for home defense against any intruders, which is precisely the argument that Joe Biden turned on its head and said, we need to take those M4s away from the American people, and you people need to go out and get yourself a double-barreled shotgun. Arm ourselves with M4s.
Something's going on, Craig.
There's no question something's going on. It's been going on for a long time. This isn't brand new. None of this is new. 20 years ago, I know what you and I would have been labeled.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that.
But it's not possible anymore because we're not talking about things we're saying are going to happen. We're talking about things that have already happened.
Are they anticipating an invasion of this country from outside sources?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. This country has never had anything to fear except fear itself, FDR said. We never had to fear a foreign force, a foreign invasion. And no government seriously fears that most of the time throughout the history of the world. But every government fears its own citizenry first and foremost. That's the greatest threat to their existence.
Look, I'm all for a strong defense. So are you. We were both in the military, me, the Navy. There's no question that our defense should be the strongest in the world. I'm concerned about countries like North Korea. When this guy talks about, you know what, we may want to send missiles your way, it's insane talk. And he may be insane, but you still have to wake up and listen to what he's saying. That's what a defense should be doing. We should be dealing with these lunatics out there saying, you know what, sorry, but you know, you're not going to get the missiles. You already have a nuke. We're going to have to take care of you that way. I might defend that. But what's going on here within this country is absolutely bizarre. I can't put my finger on it.
If you look at all of it with a sufficient historical knowledge, things began changing after World War II. Things were put in place before World War II at the turn of the last century. In the 1923, changes in the law were changed dramatically. The Federal Reserve System was created. It wasn't a coincidence that the laws that prescribed corporations, charitable foundations, tax-exempt foundations. The new corporate tax system was put into place. It's not the same as what individuals pay in taxes. The IRS was created out of thin air. Nobody even knew what it was for at the time because nobody even considered the Federal Reserve to be taking borrowed money and giving it to the government. So why would we need an Internal Revenue Service? But they knew they would need an Internal Revenue Service because they knew the government would be put into a deficit. They knew the money would be borrowed and the money would be collected by the Federal Reserve. The IRS works for the Federal Reserve System, not the Treasury. Get that straight. So they've known what they were doing a long, long time ago. They don't like the free enterprise system. They don't like a free republic based on democratic principles. They want a government. And they sincerely do want a government that they're in control of that has considerably more power over everything, including life and death. Now, they know. They're not stupid. The National Security Council is not stupid. I've worked in the military and with federal law enforcement. I've been in some of the rooms with the conferences. I've been to a fusion center. And I can tell you, I'm just flat going to tell you, they know what's coming. They know they're going to take away civil liberties. They know they're going to take away parts of the First Amendment, most of the Second Amendment. Under Obama, they won't abolish gun rights while a black liberal Democrat is in the White House. That would require a white conservative Republican to be in the White House. You got more to fear of Jeb Bush becoming president and they coming in and taking away your guns. That's how they've worked the system for decades.
And see, my take is buying all the ammo, getting these personnel carriers ready, doing what they're doing, buying more assault weapons. I think one day, and I want to talk with you about the timetable in a second, Craig. I think this is all geared up to the possibility, first and foremost, of banning all weapons in America, and they know that they're not going to be able to get them peacefully, and so they're putting this together. What do you think of that theory?
I think you're absolutely correct. And this began, the idea began in the Senate bill over 20 years ago. I was the only person in the nation that reported on it. I had to publish the bill. We didn't have a website back then. I made copies of it, and everywhere I went, we had copies handed out. And the bill was a simple bill, a simple Senate bill that added language to the FEMA legislation, FEMA's staff. It proposed fusion centers. They didn't call them then. They called them something different at the time. But the proposal was to create these centers and develop in every metropolitan area this joint government, military, FEMA, combined police force, military force to deal with, under the FEMA regulations, all hazards.
I mean, I would love for people who would not understand this or agree with it to tell us why they think it's necessary for Homeland Security in this country to do what they're doing and to buy what they're doing, assault weapons, armored cars, ammunition up the gazoo.
Let me give you the definition of all hazards.
All right.
That word was plugged in there. That changed everything. It had natural disasters, tornadoes, floods. We all know what FEMA does. That bill was altered with one word, and the word in the next paragraph was defined. It was to include, along with floods and natural disasters, all hazards. The definition of all hazards included civil disobedience, mm-hmm, and domestic violence.
So if there's
this was
peaceful...
20 years ago, and who submitted the bill? Dianne Feinstein.
Interesting. Like it was a plan.
Of course it's a plan. It's nothing somewhere. Happens in government by accident.
No, and it's well thought out, carefully thought out.
They it know just... there's going to be a rebellion at some point.
If they take the guns.
If they go after the guns, if they go after anything that, okay, did you know they started licensing in Illinois anybody that bought and sold gold?
You're kidding me.
Just last month. No, I'm not.
I missed that.
It's being done in ways that you can't even see it on the surface. You've got to have 1,000 tentacles out to every media source in the nation to find out that in Illinois they've already passed legislation that you have to register how much gold you've got, and if you buy it or sell it, you have to fill out a form and register with the state.
Whether it's one coin or a whole bunch.
Yes.
Wow.
And this is, of course, it's unheard of in the nation.
By the way, that's in a state that has still yet to pass a concealed weapons handgun law.
Yes, and they have the most strict handgun laws.
Now, a court has forced the legislature to try to come up with one, but they don't have it yet.
No, they've got it's a killing ground in Chicago. They've got the strictest gun laws in the nation, and it's called a killing ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like you said, the fusion centers were created 20 years ago. They weren't called fusion centers. They had a long gobbledygook name under the Feinstein Amendment. It's not a coincidence that it was Dianne Feinstein who submits every single year. Every year she submits the exact same legislation that she's already submitted and has already passed committee to ban 2,000 different semi-automatic firearms.
And really the big difference for people who don't understand weaponry, a semi-automatic You have to squeeze the trigger like you would a pistol or a handgun. You squeeze it, and the ammo comes out. An automatic, you just hold it down once, right?
Correct. And it'll empty the magazine.
It'll empty the magazine.
But here's, you know what, here's the whole point of the Second Amendment. So people don't call in and start asking, why would anybody need to have such a rifle? I've got a whole house full of weapons, and I have an SSL. I train people in firearms. I'm a firearms instructor. I have been forever. The Founding Fathers gave us the Second Amendment, and it said, you know, the militia was mentioned in there because it was obviously they didn't have a national army or a police force.
Right. That's all they knew then.
So they knew that, and so they called it a militia. That means every able-bodied man could be called up by the state. And so they said, you have to bring your gun. You have to have a gun. You have to bring your gun. So if this country is invaded or there's an uprising, we can call out the militia, bring your own gun. And it was understood. In 1776, you brought your musket, your smoothbore brown Bess musket. In 1865, you'd bring your Henry rifle, which carries 14 rounds in 44-40 or 45 Colt, lever action. In 21st century, you called up the militia. You're supposed to come with your M4, your M16 semi-automatic rifle, the same weapon issued to the military, because that's what the Second Amendment is for, is for the American people to be able to defend their homes against intrusion by the federal government. And that's what the sheriffs are for. If you come into this county or the counties in Oregon or the counties in Utah, the sheriffs have already gotten together and said if the federal government tries to come in and enforce a Second Amendment grab of all these firearms that Feinstein wants prohibited, you're going to have to go through the sheriffs because we're going to call up the militia, the citizenry of our county, and we will outnumber you 1,000 to 1.
Craig, is this all being done under the guise of terrorism, that we're going to get hit by more 9/11-type episodes, and this time we need to be prepared?
Well, if we needed to be prepared, if that was the argument, and I've heard the argument sometimes, they're not pushing that argument because the fact of the matter is, if you really wanted to be prepared to defend here in the United States, the homeland, we've got two examples of it where it's done. And it works. It's Israel and Switzerland.
And in Switzerland, they compel everybody to have a gun.
You're trained and you're compelled to have a gun all forever. You have it in your closet with ammo and it's fully automatic. In Israel, everybody's got a gun. If you want to stop one of those clowns in a shopping mall or a school shooting people, I carry a concealed weapon. I've never not carried a concealed weapon my entire adult life.
And let me tell you something. If I were in a mall with my kids or my grandchildren and some lunatic was there with a gun, Mr. Hewlett, I would wish to God that you were right behind him with your concealed weapon.
That's the idea. I don't carry a gun to protect myself. When they ask me when I got a concealed weapons permit anywhere, when they've ever asked me, I say I carry a concealed weapon because if I see a woman being attacked or somebody being kidnapped or somebody walks into a donut shop and starts opening fire, I'm going
to
drop the bugger. I carry a gun to protect those who cannot protect themselves.
I want to ask you about that when we come back in a moment, about people who are attacked while others simply stand by and watch. More to come on Coast to Coast AM with Craig Hewlett. His website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His book, The Hydra of Carnage. We'll be back. I'm going to be in Edison, New Jersey this weekend, a major speech and an event. So come on out and see me. Information, of course, highlight reel at coasttocoastam.com. Love to chat with you. We're going to come back more with Craig Hewlett next hour. Phone calls with him right here on Coast to Coast AM. Craig, I want to take some time and get your brain to react to some things that have been happening on this planet where people basically, you know, back off. They don't get involved. People are getting attacked in front of a crowd, and the crowd watches. Nobody jumps in to help the person. What's wrong with people?
What's the difference? Let me see if I can put it this way. most people think that the opposite of love is hate. But the opposite of love is not hate. Very often what comes out of love in a relationship of love, it turns into hate.
Mm-hmm.
Hate's very, very closely in attendance with love. What's the opposite of love, which would include loving your neighbor, loving the human race, loving people enough to come to their aid if they're being put upon. The opposite of love is indifference. And I'm seeing my country becoming indifferent about what happens to other people. And I do get that on shows, not on your show, and certainly not on the shows that I'm a regular guest on in other states and other areas. But on shows that I go to and they haven't heard me before, I never fail to get at least one phone caller that says, I don't have a problem with what Obama's doing. If he wants to kill all of them in the Middle East, I don't care. I want to see guns taken out of the hands of everybody in America because nobody has the right to own a gun. Nobody. Obama is even quoted as having said nobody has the right to have a gun. And that's because not only do they have an inherent fear about their own ability of owning a gun, they fear that if they were to own a gun, they might get angry and shoot somebody.
That's right. And that's the perspective.
That's projection.
That's their perspective. You're right. You know, it's like someone who is a road rager, and he says, if I had a gun, I would probably shoot that person. And that's why they panic. So they figure you're going to do the same thing.
Because that's how they feel.
That's how they feel.
That's called projection. It's a defense mechanism. Reaction formation is another form of defense mechanism. And what that basically says is, people do already have a murderous rage towards other people. They already don't like other people because they're black, brown, Hispanic. They come from a different country. They may be lesbian, gay. It doesn't matter what it is, but they have a rage against them. But their reaction formation is part of their projection is that they're going to put on you that you're the one that's the problem. You're the bad person. So they're going to stand by if they see a group of white people see a Mexican guy getting beaten up by the cops. Some of them are going to applaud, frankly.
Some of them are going to applaud. There's no doubt about that.
When the attack took place on Rodney King, and I'm just going to say it because I'm old now, and I really don't care what people think of me, all right? When Rodney King took place, I was friends with a lot of people in Hollywood. I went down for the L.A. riots. I was on Arsenio. I was all over the place. And I said something when I was much younger and probably a little too aggressive in my nature at the time. But I said if I'd seen those cops beating that man, I wouldn't care whether he was black, Hispanic, or a crackhead. What those cops were doing at that time to that man, I would have walked down and I would have intervened. And I would have said, you either stop or you're going to have to take me on.
Mm-hmm. But how many people would do that? Not many.
Not any longer in this country. In my youth, when I was in the military, I always had what we would call a crew. I had my own crew of guys that felt the same way. There were never any rapes or brutality perpetrated on the Vietnamese people when me and my crew was around. We didn't allow it.
There's always
people in every military and every law enforcement capacity. Any cop will tell you. The best cops will tell you. Believe me, if they want to field out of the fusion centers a sufficient number of armed people to beat the hell out of Americans and take guns from them in their own homes, they'll find volunteers.
They will.
Yes.
You sense, as I do, that something is happening to the mindset of people. And, you know, we can't put our finger on it, but something's happening, and it's happening pretty darn fast, where they're upset, they're stressed out to the max. And as we see all these other things unfold, everything we said is true. Everything's happening the way it is. We're not making this up. We didn't make up the stories about the ammo buy or the personnel carriers purchasing or the approval to ban assault weapons and grab more?
I have a 54-page document that I'm getting ready to put up on the website. It's only 54 pages. These are the titles of the stories. Will liberals rise up strongly and attack Obama's targeted assassination program of Americans? American drone deaths highlight controversy. The White House's judge, jury, and executioner of both drone and cyber attacks. Whoops, the Air Force drones can now legally spy on you. Homeland Security is training TSA workers to save themselves in shooting. TSA's mission creep is making the U.S. a police state. Obama gives foreign cops new police powers in the U.S. California gets face recognition scanners to spy on everyone all at once.
And did you see?
Obama's executive order expands Homeland Security reach into local law enforcement.
Right, and they're taking it.
These are all done.
What are the local departments saying? Do they welcome this or not?
I can tell you, I know a lot of good men. Most of the people I've worked in federal law enforcement were in the intelligence community. They were either head of intelligence or they were intel special agents in the department. So they really are a more intelligent people, to put it bluntly. That's why they end up in intelligence. Those guys, I can tell you that I've talked to enough of them that if Obama takes this next step and tries to confiscate guns, and they expect the ATF and the DEA and everybody else, Customs, Border Patrol, to all jump on these MRAPs along with Homeland Security and roll into communities and go house to house and take guns, unfortunately, George, I'm sorry to have to say, most of them will say it's time to retire.
I think you're right. They don't want anything to do with this. Do they?
They won't have anything to do with it. They'll retire, even if it means they have to retire early and lose their pension.
I do not believe, and I've always believed that military people, police people will fire on Americans.
They will.
You think they would?
I know they will. I just talked to a former military police, an MT, and her training was at Aberdeen Proving Grounds, Maryland, where I trained. And she was an MP. She's 31 years old. And she confirmed that there were more cowboys than the MPs, and they would lock and load on the American people in a heartbeat.
Unbelievable.
You have to understand.
I would have lost that bet.
You would. You and I need to, I think. You do this for a living. You talk to people every day for a living. You analyze for a living. You have to take on issues that nobody even knows is an issue and tell them, no, this actually exists. I'm not making this up. I was told I needed to go get my tin foil hat on last night on a radio show.
Unbelievable.
Because I was saying these things are simply true.
Well, people don't believe this. They don't want to believe this.
They don't want to believe it. To put it bluntly, the ones that don't want to believe it is because they're cowards.
Did you see the story last week about the drones they want to make that apparently can tell if somebody is armed or not?
They already have such capabilities, yes. They have capability. In the back of their heads, these technicians, the scientists, they think they have the capability to park a vehicle or a drone in the city of Los Angeles, and they could put this beam of light on them, and they could study the beam of light, and through the transmissions, through the technology they have, they could determine whether or not your testosterone is kicking in, whether you're being anxious, whether you're upset, or whether you're calm. And they actually believe they have the capability to determine that you may be getting prepared to commit a crime.
If you had carte blanche to fix this, to reverse it, maybe take us back into time, I don't know, what would you start dismantling right now in this country?
Wow.
Homeland Security, would you do away with that? What would you do?
I think I would have to say.
Because hopefully one day somebody will be in office and say, This is crazy.
Well, I know what, okay, I do have an answer. Gosh, you ask good questions. That one really had me there for a minute. No, I do have an answer, though. It for some reason, it's called Executive Order 11490.
What is that?
It was prepared in the early 60s. The first one was signed off on by Richard Nixon. No coincidence. Like I said, after Jack Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, things really started to change in this country. The powers of the Republicans and the Democrats, which are two sides of the same coin, they say, we're going to take this country in this direction. The corporations, the bankers, we know where we want to take the country. So we need a government that's flexible, two-party system, that no matter which way, if it's a Republican or a Democrat, we're going to achieve the same continuity of government and we're going to achieve the same policy objectives that we've got outlined that we'll never tell the American people about. And I believe one of the keys that they put into place was Executive Order 11490. It's called Assigning Emergency Preparedness Functions to Federal Governments and Agencies. I have one of the very old, beat-up copies of it. And in it, I used to quote from the lectern, it's prepared that under any national security type, it says, let me see if I can get it right now.
Okay. And they could pull it out at any time.
Yes. It's prepared for defend the prepare the government for a national emergency and our ability to assure continuity of government at every level in any national emergency type situation that might conceivably confront the nation. That's the exact quote.
That's pretty vague.
Any national emergency type situation that might conceivably confront the nation.
That could be anything.
That's literally carte blanche. This is supposed to be a legal document. A grade school kid could write a better legal document. This says that anything that happens that we're uncomfortable with, we can institute this FEMA emergency, and it's a complete takeover of the United States government. Every agency of the government, the state, Treasury, Justice Department, Post Office, Interior, Agriculture, everything is taken over by FEMA. So it didn't surprise me that 20 years later, Feinstein passes a Senate bill that changes the definition of what emergencies are in a FEMA legislation to add all hazards, which then was defined as civil disobedience. Somebody knows the American people are not going to tolerate where this government, Republican, Democrat, liberal, and conservative, black, white, I don't care who's in office, those people inside the Beltway, where Ron Paul told me once personally, I don't know anybody that's ever come inside this Beltway that didn't get Potomac fever.
How true.
And they will take this country away from us.
And I've got to tell you, this quest for a one-world government is real, and before they implement it, they have got to take the guns away in this country. Or their plan is not going to work.
That's correct. It cannot work.
No, it cannot work. Things will just be.
And every time, you know, Jack. When I worked for Jack Metcalf, I was hired for one specific reason, to continue doing what I do all the time.
He was a retired congressman a long time ago.
But he hired me to do exactly what I do, but give it to him first. And one of the things him and I worked on the longest and put most effort in was the thing called a multilateral agreement on investment. We worked day and night. I wrote a 1,000-page document proving the consequences if this thing were to pass, and we defeated it. We actually stopped it dead in its tracks.
Today it would pass, wouldn't it?
It's already back.
Oh.
Jack died some time ago, but if Jack was alive, he saw what I had on my computer today, what just came out of a working paper with the Council on Foreign Relations and a document and a study out of the Mexico meeting of financial institutions, they've come right back and they said, what this world needs is a multilateral agreement on investments.
And here we go.
And it'll come back again and again and again. And in that document, there will be a currency exchange. There will be gold confiscation. And this emergency power, Executive Order 11490, is signed off on and updated every single year by every single president ongoing. Obama just signed off on it in July of 2012. Every president signs off on it.
Okay, so for people who are listening tonight, ready to jump off a bridge, what do we tell them? How do we keep them from jumping, Craig?
Have the courage not to jump. To start with, this happens throughout history. It's never not been part of human history. There's always going to be people with tremendous power and wealth, and they don't intend to share it. And they intend for you to do as you're told and not get in their way. And you're certainly not going to get in their way with guns and threaten to overthrow that government, no matter how corrupt or vicious it gets. But the government we're getting has a name. It does have a name. It's called corporatism. It's the corporations in a mix with the federal government working to protect the monopoly corporations.
Right.
They hate free enterprise. They want nothing short of corporatism or corporate zoning. That's where the largest corporations work hand in glove with the federal government and the banking industry and everything that matters, every single thing that matters, from bread to food to guns to the money you hold in your wallet, whether it's a Federal Reserve note or a gold coin, they have control of it. They have absolute control of every single thing. This executive order is meant to confirm that.
And they must be petrified that we're going to stop it.
I think right now they're more petrified than ever, and that's why we're seeing the escalation.
Yes.
The speed with which they're taking things down is because the internet, shows like yours, the internet, the very idea of technology, that these documents, I used to have to print them out at a copy shop and hand them out at a lecture in Los Angeles and then do it again in Denver. Do you have any idea how much this information that I've had for 30 years I'm putting out in a PDF file almost every day on my website, and boom, it's shot all over the country, all over the world.
Sure is. By the way, speaking of Denver, we tape our television shows there. I'd love for you to be on Beyond Belief. I'll have Tom call you, and we'll work that out.
That'd be sweet, wouldn't it?
We'll get you up there. We'll get you up there for a little weekend in Denver, Mr. Hewlett. We'll do that.
I can't mention the name, but there's a gentleman in Denver that has head of intel for a federal agency in Denver.
Yeah.
And it's an unlikely federal agency, but he asked me recently to just build him a custom M4 AR-15 in 6.5 Creedmoor.
God, you do that too?
A custom carbine.
You build those?
Yeah, and he's a cop, federal agent.
He's a smart cop, I guess.
Yeah, and he's one of the ones that said, I'm afraid, Craig, if this thing goes the way it looks like it's going to go in the next few years, most of them agree Obama will not try to confiscate outright, but he's going to put all the implements in place to confiscate. And then here comes Jeb Bush into the White House. So. Jeb Bush with that sweet country smile.
Is that your prediction? He's going to win in 16?
Yes.
Ah, interesting. Craig, we're going to come back and take phone calls with you. Woo, what a night on Coast to Coast AM.